Chapter 9. Two pieces of news came on Friday morning. First, the baker had met Rosanna walking towards Fritzinghall on Thursday afternoon. Second, Dr. Candy had caught a cold in the rain and had a dangerously high fever. Shortly after Seagrave arrived, a telegram came for Mr. Franklin. "Sergeant Cuff is arriving this morning," he said. "There isn't a mystery this man can't solve." Seagrave sat down immediately to write a report for the famous London detective. I was watching him anxiously chewing on his pen when I saw a miserable-looking figure dressed in black arrive at the gates outside. At first sight, the bony little old man seemed almost like a ghost. Could this be the famous Sergeant Cuff? Outside, as he introduced himself in a quiet, sad voice, his steely grey eyes met mine. They were as sharp as knives, those eyes, and seemed to know more about you than you did yourself. I told him Superintendent Seagrave was waiting to see him, and he followed me silently towards the house. The first sign of any interest that he showed was when he saw our rose garden. He began talking to the gardener, who soon found out he was an expert on roses. He touched a white rose with his thin yellow fingers. "Pretty dear," he said softly, as though speaking to a child. Seagrave and Cuff spoke in private in my office. Afterwards, the superintendent seemed excited, and the sergeant was yawning. "The sergeant wishes to see Miss Verinder's sitting room," Seagrave announced authoritatively. I took them upstairs. Softly, Cuff examined the cabinet and the entire room. Only the door seemed to awaken his curiosity. "How did this happen?" he asked me, placing a stick-like finger on the dried smear. Seagrave answered, "The servants crowded into the room yesterday morning. A dress did it. I ordered them out." "Did either of you notice which dress?" asked Cuff, still speaking to me. "I can't remember," Seagrave replied. "It's unimportant." Cuff gave Seagrave a sad look. "In all my experience of this dirty little world, I have never known anything unimportant. We must find the dress that did this, and we must know when that paint was wet." He turned to me. "Sir, yesterday you all came in here around 11, I believe. Does anybody know whether the paint was dry at that time?" I told him Mr. Franklin knew. Cuff sent for him, and he joined us in the room. "The paint dries in 12 hours, he declared. "The smeared part was finished at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Therefore, Mr. Blake, the paint dried around 3 a.m. on Thursday. It must have been dry for approximately 8 hours when you all came in here at 11. Miss Rachel suddenly rushed out of her room. Cuff bowed and introduced himself. "Take my advice, Sergeant," she said angrily. "Don't allow Mr. Franklin Blake to help you." She turned to Mr. Franklin with a wild look, but curiously was unable to look him in the eyes. Cuff's eyes never left her. "Thank you, miss," he said. "Do you know anything about the smear? Might you have done it by accident?" "I know nothing," she declared, and went and shut herself up in her room again. Hearing her burst out crying inside, Cuff said, "Miss Verinder is extremely upset about the loss of her diamond." A faint smile appeared on his lips. "Naturally, it's an extremely valuable jewel." His face hardened. Now, we must discover when the paint was last seen without that smear. Who saw it last on Wednesday night? Possibly Mr. Betteridge's daughter, Penelope, Mr. Franklin replied. Cuff took me aside. We don't want to annoy the servants, do we? He said. So please tell them I don't suspect anybody. I have no evidence, yet, that the diamond has been stolen. I only know it's been lost. Say I simply want them to help me find it. Now go and fetch your daughter. Cuff seemed to approve of Penelope. She told him she saw them finish the last part, and had seen it as late as midnight, without a smear. She had been careful not to touch it. He examined her dress. There was no trace of paint. He then asked me whether a dog might have entered the room. I said this was impossible. He studied the smear closely, and was satisfied it had been made by clothing between midnight and 3 o'clock on Thursday morning. Yes, Superintendent, he said. Please feel free to return to Fritzinghall. But leave one of your men here, will you? In case I need him. Good morning. He went to the window and stood there, whistling The Last Rose of Summer. Seagrave, deeply offended, marched noisily out. Nodding thoughtfully, his eyes on Miss Rachel's bedroom door, Cuff asked to speak to my lady. Leaving the room, I heard Mr. Franklin say to him, "Can you guess yet who has stolen the diamond?" "Nobody has stolen the diamond," Cuff replied.